Hey, everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of The Ed Show. This is what happens when we get toys. We're not allowed good toys because of you.
I'm trying to stay awake. It's tiring, man. It's tiring what's going on here. It's
so
awesome,
this,
though.
This episode of The Ed Show, we are currently in Nolens.
Yes, Nolens in Louisiana at Tech Ed 2013. We're on the C9 stage.
Did you bring some Slap Your Mama?
No, I had some Slap Your Mama sauce and spice with my omelet today.
Isn't it awesome?
You can put
anything. You shake this.
Although
spice
I will say it does not taste very good. I don't know which camera. Over there?
You're there.
It does not taste very good when you have it on top of pineapple. It sprinkled on top of my pineapple by mistake on on the plate. And not good. Not good at all.
How about we talk about the news, my friend?
There's lots of news. We're at Tech Ed, and there was one of the people were saying this is one of the biggest and baddest looking demos and announcements and craziness going on in the keynote that they've seen in years.
Now, first it starts out with Brad Anderson rolling in an Aston Martin, for crying out loud.
Yes.
That was pretty impressive.
And in case anyone has not had a chance to see that video, you can see that one on Channel 9 because it is there. And in case you're wondering, it is an optional upgrade to Windows Phone 8 to get the removable text application.
Yes, it's available in the Windows Store. So let's talk about some of the big news announcements. We have got new products. So let's start first with Windows Server 2012 R2.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we move on to
System Center 2012 R2. We're supposed to say it's together. We could.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that works.
No.
What's the next one?
SQL Server 2014. And then I'm going to throw you for a loop. Visual Studio.
What?
Visual Studio, they announced it in the keynote. Visual Studio version?
Yeah,
I told you. Version 2013.
I was about to say 2013.
Yeah, sure you were.
I was.
So we talked about a ton of other things besides the new products. Oh, I forgot the most important product, which is the product that I'm the evangelist for, which is Windows. And we announced the availability of Windows 8.1 coming soon.
Right.
And the preview bits are going to be available on June 26th for the products mentioned previously in this very webcast.
One very big happy day for downloads on the 21st. Set your clocks
26th.
Early. Sorry, I said 26th, didn't I?
No, you 21st? Said 21st.
Okay, 26th.
Yeah.
It's the getting up early and starting those downloads all throughout the entire day because you're going to want to download every single one of those things.
I'm picking on Rick because he's not feeling well.
I know. Eh?
That's okay. Now, we have breaking news today.
What's that?
We've got breaking news. Breaking news. Outlook is available on Windows RT and on Windows RT devices. Outlook. Did I say Outlook?
Yes.
Outlook. Everybody wants Outlook on their RT device. It's going to be available on Windows 8.1 and be part of the preview that's released on June 26th.
I didn't know it was going to be on the preview, too.
Yep, absolutely. Windows 8.1 RT or Windows RT 8.1.
How are people going to actually be able to install the preview if they have devices?
So if you've got a device, there's an update that's going to be pushed to you. Once you get that update, the preview will be available through the Windows Store.
Okay.
And that's how you're going to get it.
Got it.
So that's the information that you have there. The public preview of Windows Azure BizTalk services was announced. Per minute billing in Windows Azure.
Yes, that got a round of applause.
So that means that if I run a Windows Azure virtual machine, I get up to that minute, right? So if I run it for 21 minutes.
You only pay for the 21 minutes that it's running.
Absolutely.
And when you...
That it's running. You said that. That it's running.
When it's stopped, you no longer have to worry about paying for it anymore. Which
absolutely.
Currently, you actually have to undeploy and then redeploy again in the current installation. But now, you don't have to worry about that.
Absolutely.
And you know what? There was actually... I want to call out and a shout out to anyone that knows anyone that has MSDN subscriptions. Because there's actually a contest where you could win that Aston Martin.
And Aston Martin.
It's not the same one. It's a different one.
Different one.
And Aston Martin.
You can win an Aston Martin if you're an MSDN subscriber.
If you activate your benefits, if you go in and you publish an app, and if you do some other kind of skill testing question or something like that.
But sure, absolutely.
This reference on the blog, we'll have it in the comments section if you're there.
MSDN subscribers. Absolutely. And then also, if you're an MSDN subscriber, we gave some seriously new amazing rates. So we'll link to the blog post here, but it's you get benefits based on your level of subscription with MSDN.
Right.
And it's essentially dollar amount credits. And not only have we changed that for, and this is for Windows Azure,
so
not only have we changed it for dollar amount credits, but also just the pure billing rate is in some cases just, I mean, more than half, 60-70%.
So it's no longer a number of hours per month. It's actually
correct. It's a dollar amount credit, and then we reduce the amount that it costs to actually run particular services. And there's a whole chart and everything, and we're going to add that into the blog post. We had announcements around Windows Azure Active Directory. There were other Windows 8.1 announcements talking about MDM.
Yeah,
we've got a ton of content available right here on Channel 9 because it was at Tech Ed.
Right.
We have live sessions and live interviews. But, of course, there's also the breakout sessions.
Every single one of the breakouts that are available at Tech Ed, you can view in the schedule and find the schedule. You're able to go ahead and search them, find them, download them. They're available 24 to 48 hours after they're recorded. And then once they're there, they're basically able to be downloaded, taken offline, or you can watch them online and stream them. All the content's online.
Get all of this good information. Now, I think it's time to move past the news. There's too much news.
It's insane.
You know, it's kind of funny because some days there's no news.
I know. And we've been in a quiet news cycle over the last little while.
Yeah.
And because we're leading up to now. And so now we basically just said, boo, it's all there.
And there's more coming.
Yeah.
There's more
that's
coming.
That's right. Because
there's always more news coming. Yes. We've got a lot of going on. You have a guest today.
Yes. One of the technologies that was discussed during the keynote and announced as part of it there is called work folders.
Oh, I love me some work folders.
Let's just say in simple terms, I'm probably going to be correct, but in simple terms, think of it as a folder that's on your own infrastructure.
That has work in it.
That has work in it, but it can appear in multiple locations. And it's designed for enterprise. That's the simplest way I'm going to explain it. I'm going to leave it up to Nir to go ahead and tell us more details. And I've actually asked him to do a demo and to show us how it works, how to implement it, and how to use it. Because I know you did an interview already that's actually streamed that was talking about it from the client side.
Yep.
This is the server side.
Awesome. So you know what I'm going to do? Check this out.
What?
Golnaz is going to zoom in on me. She's going to zoom in on me
She's
right
not
here.
Listening to you. All
and I'm going to snap my fingers and I'm going to disappear off the stage. You ready for this?
You can't do that.
I can totally do this. Watch. One,
go ahead.
Two, three.
Joey. Dude. Welcome back. I managed to track down our guest today, which is a friend of mine, which happens to be known as Nir Ben-Zvi.
And perfect.
You're on the Windows Server team, right?
I am on the Windows Server team. Thank you, Rick. And I just heard your very eloquent description of what work folder is. It was absolutely great. We just published it to the web. That's our new motto. I'd like to get it from the magic that you described to a little bit more of what it actually does.
Okay, that makes sense.
And what it actually does, it allows users to have their work data distributed yep. across all their machines so that they can work on the machines that they have at home or on the machines that they have at work.
Okay.
This also enables IT administrators to have control over this data
right.
because they're actually using file servers on the back end to sync between the different users' machines
right.
so that when a user works at home and stores a document, a work document, in his work folders, the file gets actually uploaded to a file server inside the organization and then synced to all other devices that the user has.
Okay, because right now I'm assuming probably from an information worker, I know that kind of behind the backs of IT, I know I've been guilty of this in the past. I've been using various different public solutions to store stuff in different locations. And I've been following proper, just in case anyone's listening from HR, I'm following proper guidelines of sensitive business information on internal SkyDrive Pro solutions. And I've also been storing my public stuff up on SkyDrive. But this is neither of those two things at all. This is something completely different.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that because a lot of people are asking, why do we need work folders if we have SkyDrive Pro
right.
or SkyDrive? So as you said, SkyDrive is for consumer information.
Right.
And people use it to store their consumer data. And SkyDrive Pro is for enterprise information, and it's absolutely the right solution to go to if you're using SharePoint on-prem
mm-hmm.
or you're using SharePoint Online with Office 365. However, if you want to extend your investments that you have already in file servers and the technology that you're using already mm-hmm. today, and you want to just add sync to the file servers, this is where Work Folders comes into the picture. So if you already have an IT that is using file servers, is familiar with that, and you'd like to continue and extend that investment that you have, you can just go ahead and use Work Folders.
Okay.
And the reason we did it is because we actually looked at the market and saw that many people are going to SkyDrive Pro, mm-hmm. many people are actually asking us to also provide a solution on file servers. They want to take their SMB access, they want to take their NFS access, and they want to also extend to sync access so that users' devices can actually sync their data mm-hmm. when they're on-prem, off-prem, on the domain, or not on the domain.
Okay, now, I know that Joey had a little bit of a conversation with Adam Hall about the client information worker style of how this works, and I hope you're going to be able to give us a bit more light on the information around how an IT individual would go ahead and to implement this.
Yes.
Now, requirements-wise, to be able to use this, I'm assuming that we have to have Server 2012 R2.
Yes, so
being used.
Our motto was, when we developed this feature, is simple, simple, and simple.
Okay.
So you do need a Windows Server 2012 R2. You do need to be able to publish it through the internet.
Okay.
So publish it using a web proxy or a firewall IP configuration.
Yep.
But that's it. You can then start using work folders with that. And I'll go ahead and show you a little bit about
please.
How you turn it on and how you kind of play with it to create work folders on file servers.
Sure.
So, as I said, you know, work folders is part of the file server role, and here I'm in the server manager, and I chose to quickly show you where you're adding work folders into this computer. So, in server manager, you can add roles, and I chose the file and storage role.
Right.
And within it, we have the work folder role.
Okay.
So that's all I needed to do in order to enable work folders on this computer.
Yep.
Once I do that, I get into my work folders area where I can monitor all the work folders activity on this machine.
So it literally just becomes another node of the existing server manager interface that we're already used to using.
Absolutely, and it uses the same exact method to work with administrators. You can manage it across multiple servers or one server, the
yep.
same way that you're using Server Manager today. Of course, everything is partial scriptable,
yep.
so that you can partial script and run it across multiple machines. And here we can see that we have two different sync shares for work folders. And let me just quickly tell you what a sync share is. So much like we had SMB shares and NFS shares, now we are able to do sync shares. And these sync shares contain the user's data for specific users. And here you have a great example of two sync shares. One is for the sales department, and one is for the finance department.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we want to have two sync shares and not one for all users? It's because the sales department has a particular data that has some kind of constraints about size and compliance, and the finance has a much more stricter policy of what you should put in the finance area.
Yep.
So we want to separate between the two so that sales information is separate from finance information.
Yep, okay.
Now, once we did that, if there's a user that has some problems about what's going on with his machine, the administrator can simply go into this area and look up that user. So let's say, for example, Paul from finance has a problem. And as you can see, I'm now choosing the sync share for the finance department.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of users there, let's say 1,000 users on this sync share. And I go ahead and look for Paul. So I filter based on Paul, and immediately I get Paul Mayfield, which is a great GPM in Microsoft.
Okay.
And I go ahead and right click and choose properties, and I can immediately see all of Paul's devices and what is their sync status. When did they last sync? Did they have an error? And so on. So I can help Paul troubleshoot any issues that he sees with his sync on his machines.
Okay.
So this is a very, very simple way to have one place to look at what is the sync status, who is syncing, who is not syncing, and be able to help troubleshoot issues during sync.
Okay. Very nice. There literally is any other setup that needs to be done on the server side to be able to make this up and go besides adding the role and adding the feature into the file server?
Yeah, so we showed you how to monitor the sync shares, but I didn't show you how to actually create them.
Okay.
So now I'm going to show you how easy it is to actually create a sync share.
Great.
So let's go into creating a sync share. So I'm here again in work folders, and I'm going to go ahead and create a new sync share. and I'm choosing to create it on a specific location. Mm-hmm. So I can create it on an existing SMB share. So SyncShare and SMB shares can share the same location. And this is really important if you want to use, for example, if you already have client-side caching or home folders, and you want it to be able to have your previous machines that are already working with home folders continue to work with home folders while your new machines or your at-home machines working with work folders.
Okay.
So they can all sync to the same place.
Yep.
Now, let's say I wanted to just use a new place, so I can type it in. And let's say I wanted to create it for the Channel 9 folks.
Sure.
So I went ahead and created it. Now I can choose how the user layout would be on that share, and I'll just use the default.
Default user alias, nice and easy.
Yeah. And of course I have the name. And then I need to add here a group that I want to be able to use for that sync share. So I don't have a Channel 9 group, unfortunately, but I'll just add, let's say I'll add myself here.
Sure. Just you can be an honorary Channel 9 member, yes. No problem.
Let's see if it gets this. Okay. I'll just add the sales again.
Yeah, sure. That works.
Make it easy. Yeah. And then I can actually decide what devices are allowed to sync and what happens on the device when they want to sync. So does the device need to have my data encrypted when it syncs?
Mm-hmm.
And does it have to be password protected? So I can check this, the two of these on. And we're basically good to go. We created another sync share.
It sounds like it's a similar type of policy to what you would have for trying to synchronize mail, as an example, where it has to have a lock screen. It has to have, in that case, encrypted data connection.
Exactly.
Sort of
it's but it's very simple. It's very straightforward. You select what you need. And now people can start syncing to that sync share.
Mm-hmm. Instead of curiosity, have you had any TAP customers or any people, you don't have to mention any specific names, but people using this right now in the wild, in the early stages, any feedback from them that is rather interesting, that surprised you about the whole process? Or any interesting comments you could share?
Well, I think that the most interesting thing is that once we show it to customers, first of all, they immediately get it. They get when they want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And they immediately also see the additional things that they would like to see that we didn't yet build into V1. For example, they would like to be able to sync any data, not only the user's data.
Mm-hmm.
They would like to be able to say, for this department, you know, I'd like to sync all the sales information to my PC at all time. And this is something we're thinking about as we finish developing this feature, as we look ahead. An important thing to note about this is that, you know, while we're shipping a V1 for work folders, we're already thinking about the next version.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a continuum of things that are going to come from Microsoft as we move forward. Another important thing here, and I'm sure that Adam and Joy talked about it, the set of devices that we're going to support is not only Windows.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, of course, Windows 7, which is the previous version, as Windows 8 and Windows 7, as well as iPad and other devices as we move forward.
Oh, very interesting. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to sit down and to show us how it's set up and how to configure it with the Server Manager. I'm glad to see it's using the Server Manager interface and the Server Manager platform, if you will,
yeah.
Which is very, very cool. And, you know, thanks for taking the time to come down and talk with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Rick.
Have a good day, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. If you want to leave a comment in the section down below there, please let us know how we're doing with the Ed Show. Leave us a comment, star rating, let us know what to do. Want to get a hold of us, you can email us at edge@microsoft.com. Or, you know what, we follow the Twitters. We follow TN Edge or @TN Edge on the Twitters. Thanks a lot for sticking around for the show, and we'll see you next time.